From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Argument of Paul in Romans. The theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. In this message, Dr. Cairns explains the great need sinners have before a holy God, a need which they have no power to generate or earn on their own. God requires a perfect righteousness, absolute obedience to His law. No man who ever lived has been able to measure up to this standard, except one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can supply what sinners need to have a right standing before God. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Absolutely No Remembrance. The text is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. According to this gracious covenant, the Lord treats His people as if they had never sinned. Practically, He forgets all their trespasses. Sins of all kinds He treats as if they had never been, as if they were quite erased from His memory. Oh, miracle of grace! God here doth that which, in certain aspects, is impossible to Him. His mercy worketh miracles which far transcend all other miracles. Our God ignores our sin now that the sacrifice of Jesus has ratified the covenant. We may rejoice in Him without fear that He will be provoked to anger against us because of our iniquities. See, He puts us among the children. He accepts us as righteous. He takes delight in us as if we were perfectly holy. He even puts us into places of trust, makes us guardians of His honor, trustees of the crown jewels, stewards of the gospel. He counts us worthy and gives us a ministry. This is the highest and most special proof that He does not remember our sins. Even when we forgive an enemy, we are very slow to trust Him. We judge it to be imprudent so to do. But the Lord forgets our sins and treats us as if we had never erred. Oh, my soul, what a promise is this! Believe it and be happy.
Thousands of empty
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
If you really grasp the argument of the book of Romans, and if that argument, like the handle of the sword of Eleazar, really digs in and gets a grip of you, then, my friend, it will deal with those doubts and fears, and it will carry you through in the joyous victory of the cross until you reach the glory shore. So there is very good reason for grasping the argument of this epistle. Remember Paul's glorious fundamental statement of theme in verses 16 and 17? Let me put it this way. The gospel is the good news that God has provided a perfect righteousness for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And herein lies the power of the gospel. It is God's revelation of how he places sinners in a righteous standing with Him by faith in Christ and His merits, without any merit arising from their own works or efforts. It's not very often that you will hear in our day the gospel defined in such terms, but these are the terms of the gospel in the Epistle to the Romans. It is the revelation of how God places the ungodly sinners in a righteous standing with Him by faith alone in Christ alone, without any added merit from their own works. Now that is the fundamental statement. And as Paul begins his great argument, that's the statement he's elaborating. And so he starts in chapter 1, verse 18, and he goes through to chapter 3, verse 20. In a section that deals with the need that sinners have of a perfect righteousness. Chapter 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God." Now, I'm not going to get into any detailed exposition of this verse at this time, but you'll notice how it's connected with what goes before. The "for" links the arguments. We may analyze the book and make a division here for the sake of structural analysis, but there is no real division in the flow of the apostle's thought. In the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God. It is written, "The just shall live by faith." Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteous, ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Let me flip you right over to chapter 3, verse 20, to the end of this section. And all this section is leading up to this great statement. Should I say verse 19 and 20? "We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight." Paul starts this section with dealing with man's ungodliness and man's unrighteousness. He ends it by dealing with the impossibility of a man doing anything religious to justify himself in the sight of God. This is a section that is dealing with the need of the sinner. In the first part of the section, he deals with the Gentiles. In chapter 2, he deals with the Jews. And then in chapter 3, he brings them both together. And he proves the whole world, Jew and Gentile, equally and together guilty before God. When he gets to the Gentiles, he shows their deliberate ignorance of God. Their ingratitude to God. Their consequent idolatry. And something that always comes from idolatry, rampant immorality. Do you want to get ahead of myself? We'll deal with this when we deal with Romans 1 in detail. But it is not a coincidence that the further the West has gotten from the gospel and the more openly it has espoused idolatry and superstition and sorcery and witchcraft and alternate religions, the more filth and iniquity, ungodliness and immorality have flooded the land. As an apple tree produces apples, a plum tree produces plums, idolatry produces immorality. Always happens. This is how he sums up the Gentile nations. And then dealing with them in their impenitence, he shows how God has given them up to these things. Not that they have no religion, but that their religion is utterly inadequate to get them right with God. They're condemned and under the wrath of God. But the same is true of the Jews, with all their advantages. And he proves the utter inadequacy of their religion and how they are under the wrath of God. Listen, this is what Paul is saying. Look, if you're going to preach the gospel to sinners, they have got to know this is no little self-help program. This is not dealing with the fractured relations of man with man, merely. This is not a gospel to make people feel better. Though, obviously it will. But that's one of the side effects. This is not a gospel to address the social conditions or the emotional state, at least in a primary fashion. This is a gospel that has as its primary objective addressing the deep, deep, urgent need that men have. The need that flows from their being under the wrath of a sin-hating God. Guilty. Condemned. That's the need. What do they need? What do they need? What does the world need? It needs perfect righteousness. That's what it needs. Nothing less will do. This is the radical view that the gospel is giving us here. They need a perfect righteousness. We were reading in Matthew 5 this morning. Had we gone on, Jesus said that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, Paul, as a Pharisee, could say that as far as any Pharisaical obedience to the law of God would go, he was blameless. He was blameless. That's an amazing statement, and many a Pharisee could have made it. When you think of the hundreds of rules and regulations under which they lived, Paul said, I kept them all. The Pharisee whom Jesus condemned in his parable said, I fast twice in the week. 2 days out of 7 spent in fasting. Religiously, every day, many times a day, in the place of prayer, studying to the smallest details the Old Testament scriptures, memorizing those scriptures. And yet Jesus said, this is not good enough. What sinners need is a perfect righteousness. That's the need. And the first great section of this epistle is saying to the Gentiles, you will never find it in your heathen religions. In fact, you'll find the opposite. And he's saying to the Jews, you'll not find it in your law keeping. You'll find the opposite too. That's the need. And let me tell you, that's still the need. This modern notion that the God of mercy and of love has somehow dropped the standard out of kindness to let sinners in. In the Old Testament, we are told by some, I don't want to start naming factions. It's not my purpose to get into the big argument with them tonight, but that God set the law forth that you could be saved by keeping the law. And since man couldn't do that, then he has dropped the standard. Make it a little easier. All you've got to do now is believe. Let me tell you, actually, the sinner finds it as impossible to believe God as he does to obey God. Because he's totally depraved, and totally corrupt, and wicked by nature and by choice. God hasn't dropped the standard. Revelation 21 says, nothing that defileth shall enter therein. Nothing. And unless you have a righteousness that is perfect, as God is perfect, as absolutely pure, as God is absolutely pure, on the authority of that book, I tell you, you'll never be in heaven. That's the need. And when the need is put in such stark terms, obviously it is meant to drive people to the end of themselves. To realize, look, I can't meet that need by reading my Bible, by saying my prayers, by giving to the poor, by giving to the church, by giving my body to be burned, by preaching. I can't meet that need. I cannot. It's a perfect righteousness with God. And yet, that's the need. The second great part of the epistle, chapter 3, 21 to chapter 5, 21, is how God meets this need. And especially in a part of the passage we read tonight in chapter 3 from verse 24 through to verse 28. Now understand that here he sets forth God's way of meeting the need. And what is God's answer? He speaks of Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth. Paul says you need a perfect righteousness. Let me introduce you to him who is the righteous one. God has set forth Jesus Christ. This is the heart of the gospel. Christ is the gospel. As I said this morning, he is not only the messenger, he is the message. He is not only the truth bearer, he is the truth. He is the gospel. He has set forth Christ. And he set forth Christ as the means of our justification. Now, justification is the big issue. Not just pardon. And I don't mean to demean pardon. Pardon is a part of justification. It is an element within justification. It's an element you can't do without. It's one of the sweetest things in all the Bible. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Unto you is preached the forgiveness of sins. That is the music of heaven amid the trials and troubles of earth. It's a wonderful message. It's not just forgiveness. It's justification, which is an act of the free grace of God, wherein he pardons all our sins. Ah, but then he does something else. And he accepts us as righteous in his sight only on the ground of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, made over to our account, and received by faith alone. Justification is the issue.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.